Hello everyone, happy Pride Month, and welcome to We Blame Harry Styles, a podcast dedicated to the work of musician, model, actor, and icon, Harry Styles.
This week in episode 15, we're going to give a brief overview of the news before diving into an in-depth breakdown of Harry's unreleased song, Medicine.
My name is Key.
And I'm Gray.
And what do we blame Harry for this week?
So, I went to Walgreens and I bought a pair of pink, heart-shaped sunglasses, and I've been wearing them around. And they're very cute, very Harry core, very watermelon sugar. I really like them.
Love that for you.
What do you blame him for, Key?
I'd have to say my lack of productivity at work today.
Oh, no.
Which comes down to a topic we will discuss imminently, namely the drop of some My Policeman-related photography.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you're on Twitter and you're at your job and you should be doing other things, but it's like, how could I not look at this cute photo of the cast of My Policeman? So that's what I blame Harry for this week.
So true, bestie. Okay, so like I said, we're going to move into the news first. We had some news that made some Harrys rend their garments, cry. Don't Worry Darling has been bumped to a 2022 Warner Brothers theatrical release.
R.I.P.
Key, how do you feel about this? Are you rending your garments? Are you sobbing? Do you have a black cloud?
What does rending your garments mean?
I think it means like tearing apart your clothes while they're on your body.
Okay, interesting. I was prepared for you when you like said that. I was like, dyeing your clothes black, like, because we're sad and it's like a funeral. But then I was like, I don't know if that tracks with the what that statement means.
No, it's like tearing them in anguish.
All right. Good to know. I'm not crushed. I was like a little sad, but honestly, if anything, I think this is probably a good thing. You know, once you take a step back and you're like, oh, like I'm sad that I'm not going to see this year. Like this probably speaks to some confidence in Warner Brothers in the film. Hopefully that it's going to get like a theatrical release in a time when the theatrical release is less of a fraught concept. And hopefully, you know, promo and rollout and whatever, like that might not be necessarily what it means. They could just be shifting things in their slate to later. But yeah, I think if anything, it's good. I don't think it speaks anything ill about like the film itself or the content of it or anything like that. It's just, you know, it would have been nice to get it this year, but I think 2022 is not that far off.
Am I allowed to have a hot take?
When do you not have a hot take? That's my question.
I am excited that it's being moved to an official theatrical release and that it's going to be during a time when like more people around the world are going to be able to see it, because mm-hmm. that means it's going to be really fun, like, push for publicity and, like, awards. And, like, they really care about this movie. So I like that. I like that I don't have to feel like it's just going to be shunted off to a streaming service and then nobody's going to see it or anything. Like, I don't know. As much as I'm like, oh, no, there's going to be nothing happening. I mean, I'd also...
maybe there'll be a whole tour happening.
My hairy senses are tingling. I don't think that there's going to be nothing happening if Don't Worry Darling doesn't come out until 2022. So that's all I have to say about that.
I always feel, I don't know, I feel very what's the word, not scared, like not scattered, I don't know, I feel very tentative about the discussion of awards in conjunction with Don't Worry Darling, because I just feel like preemptive like discussion in that regard just, I don't know, scares me a little bit and makes me feel like we're jinxing it. So I'm not like, I don't know, I'm not in any way a religious person. I'm not generally a superstitious person, but with stuff like that, I guess I'm superstitious. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. No, it's fair. I mean, like, we haven't seen the movie yet, so we'll have to see. I guess that's all I have to say about that. We will move on to the next item of news. So we have a little constellation of bits of news about the film My Policeman. So, Key, do you want to walk us through the very exciting time that we've had in the past couple weeks related to the film?
Yeah, so I was actually glad we were going to record this podcast a couple days ago, but then we ended up delaying our recording, and that means that we get to talk about the official wrapping of My Policeman, which is exciting. So we had like gotten like some videos or something that it had officially wrapped a few days ago, but then a wing of the production went to Venice. Mm-hmm. So over the past couple days, we've gotten a lot of photos of Harry and David Dawson in Venice, and that's just been really nice, and some really good photos have come from that. And yeah, and then today, because I guess it officially wrapped, because that Venice kind of wing of the production ended after 2 days. Yeah, we just got a bunch of like set photos and like some little tidbits from people who worked on the movie. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah, they're just so cute. Everybody looks like they just had such a great time working on the movie. It seems like it was a really positive experience for everybody.
Yeah, so. They seem great. Mm-hmm. Just seeing these photos and like everybody posting about it just like really hits home for me that like everybody involved in this movie is in the LGBT community. Like,
I know.
Both Emma Corrin and David Dawson, who are the two leads apart from Harry, shared pretty recently. I don't remember the exact dates, but, you know, in the recent past, their membership with the LGBT plus community. And I was just thinking about, like, the writer and the director and how so many people involved in this project are part of the community. And yeah, just how cool of an experience it must have been to have been part of a project where there was that kind of community on set. And I just thought that was kind of a really special thing that I appreciated and that I'm looking forward to seeing like how that translates to screen.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It makes my heart very warm.
I love Emma Corrin. Like, she's just so funny and like
she is. So, and she's so weird.
Some of these photos that she posted, yeah, she like photoshopped her face or like maybe it's a filter or something like in between the people that were there in Venice, which is like very me. Like, imagine your cast like goes and has a nice time in beautiful Venice, Italy, and you're like, you know, peace sign, staying home in cloudy England.
Yeah.
And yeah, a cute picture of her and David Dawson that we got, a great photo of a few people in the cast of My Policeman, or in the crew rather, and Harry and Emma by the pool. And she's wearing kind of like a 50s style bathing suit, which is exciting.
And he's not wearing any shirt.
Scandals. And yeah, so that all of that I just thought was like a nice little thing to get. And yeah, I love Emma, and I think, yeah, I loved the behind the scenes stuff. It was like we didn't get to see much of Harry and David through the behind the scenes photos that we've gotten so far that we talked about in our last episode. Mm-hmm. Because the nature of the subject matter of the film itself, like, it makes sense that we would see in a public setting where the magazines and like the places where we get these photos, you know, that they would be able to access some of like the outside like stuff would give us more access to Harry and Emma. But so it was nice to get this little Venice sojourn and the photos from that. So yeah, it's a nice surprise over the past couple of days.
Yeah, it was just, he has such powerful energy in Italy. Like, I don't know how to describe it, but when Harry is in Italy, he just has just like, there's just something about him, you know?
It's true. I'm forever thinking about that one white suit that he wore with the pink tinted sunglasses when he performed. What was that? It was like, was it at a Gucci party or something?
It was the Gucci cruise, yeah.
I'm forever thinking about that outfit. That was a really powerful energy.
Italy hits different. He just does.
It's so true. The mustache.
Mustachery, the golden music video. It's just every time he's in Italy. So true. It's just... I'm fine. It's fine. Okay.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah. We're going to move on to our last piece of news, which is a rumor. So, you remember when we had our little Fun and Games episode and somebody asked if you would buy a Harry Styles line of nail polish if the shades were a pukey color?
I do remember that. Yes.
What was your stance on that?
That I don't remember. I think I probably would have said yes, right?
I'm pretty sure that I said yes. I was informed that I said yes. I know you said yes. Anyway, so Harry Styles is coming out allegedly with a makeup line. He licensed it under the name Pleased As, although for a little while it was, there was a little rumor that it was going to be She, because somebody thought it was registered under like the name as Styles Harry Edward. And they were like, oh my God, it's She. And then somebody was like, no, that's just his name, like, at the top of the form.
Harry's trying to figure things out. So, like, what was the source of this? Because I actually don't know. Like, I saw people talking about this. How reliable was the source for this?
It was, like, with a business registry. I saw it a while ago, but it was legitimate, I think. Because people were pulling it from, like, like a business listing. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Okay. We'll have to see if that happens.
I mean, listen, like Vogue reported on it. So
yeah, so I guess we are just as diligent in our reporting as Vogue is what you're saying. That's what I'm hearing.
It is. Absolutely. I actually think that sometimes we're more diligent in our reporting than Vogue on certain matters, but that's just me. Anyway, it was registered under Pleased As, and it's
which is a very cute name.
I know, and it's said to be a cosmetics and fragrances company. That's what it was registered under. So we don't know like what kind of cosmetics this is. He's been like famous and stuff for wearing nail polish, and he's sold perfume before. So I think that those are likely. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I don't know. This is one of those things where I'm like, if it happens, great. I will consider purchasing it if it looks like something that I would like. But I'm not like, I totally understand the impetus. If you're like a big fan of somebody, you like want to participate in everything that they do. Like, this is not judgment whatsoever. But like, I don't know. Realistically, probably I will get it unless it's like something that's like heinous. But yeah, I don't know. Without knowing, it's like hard for me to say. I don't really wear perfume. So if it's a perfume, like, I don't know. If it's really cheap, maybe I'll get it. But I don't know. It's like less my area. But I'm excited for the inevitable photo shoot or video that we would get around it. But the product itself, you know, we'll wait and see. What about you?
Yeah, I hope that it's something like nail polish or lipstick, because other makeup, I don't really like wearing that much. All I have to say is Sally Hansen perfected the quick dry one coat matte finish. Harry Styles, I get Sally Hansen from the drugstore, so I need you, if you make nail polish, I want to be able to defend your nail polish, but I'm going to have to criticize your nail polish if it's like milky and it takes forever to dry. I'm a discerning consumer.
You heard it here first. I'm sure that if and when that happens, we'll be here with an hour-long breakdown of the technical implications of Harry Styles nail polish. Yeah, I do think I would like to see a nail polish line. I think that would be cute, but we'll have to see if it happens. But the nail polish line, I could definitely see. Who knows what perfumes and fragrances means? Like, if that's like a coding for like a wide variety of things, like, I'm not actually sure. So interested to see if anything happens with it, but it's not like this would be the first unsourced rumor on the internet. So
let alone about Dear Harold.
So yeah, so that kind of covers the news that we had for this week's episode. Not all that much, but we still managed to talk about it for probably too long. So let's get into our main segment for this week, which is a discussion of Harry Styles' unreleased song, Medicine, which I feel like is an exciting topic and one that I feel like people have been wanting us to talk about. I thought we'd kind of start by just getting into why we want to do this song, what we kind of hope to accomplish with kind of a breakdown and an analysis of this song. And yeah, kind of just a placing this in the context of this podcast and what our mission is with this episode. So yeah, so I created this kind of Google form asking people for things they wanted us to talk about, because we had a few ideas for, you know, upcoming episodes that we wanted to do this summer, but we kind of just wanted some listener feedback. And so some people had kind of asked us to talk about, you know, Harry's impact in the LGBT plus community, or like kind of queer related or adjacent topics. And so we had already kind of been in discussion about doing something for Pride Month, so we thought that a medicine discussion would be kind of a great way to celebrate Pride Month, because as we will get into throughout this episode, Medicine is definitely a song that is really special to a lot of LGBT plus fans, and yeah, it's just a really awesome queer song. So yeah, that kind of just places this in the context of this month. That's kind of what we hope to accomplish with this episode. It's a discussion of that, its themes, how we feel about it, like we usually do a breakdown of the song.
Yeah, we're just very, very excited for this episode. So we're going to go into a timeline of events first, sort of where we started finding out about Medicine all the way to its debut, and then how it was talked about in the news before we move on to some analysis. So Medicine was actually seen on a whiteboard in his self-titled photo book, although nobody would have known what it was. It says on the whiteboard, "Last Day, Medicine, Recut, Verse, Vocal." And it's a photograph of Harry with his long hair pushed over his face. So first off,
it's a great photo.
Long hair Harry wrote Medicine. There's probably footage of long hair Harry singing Medicine, like the footage that he
Don't
sang.
Don't torture me with
Kiwi.
This.
Oh, this drives me.
I don't deserve this torture.
This drives me insane. Imagine him just like chewing the gum and oh my god, listeners.
All right, we're just getting started, so
we're just getting started. We have to keep going, but yeah, just now you guys have that picture in your mind, so you're welcome. The song officially debuted during the second leg of Live on Tour, the arena leg in Basel, Switzerland, on March 11, 2018. Again, this was the first stop of the arena leg of Live on Tour, but the lyrics were not fully audible until the next night in Paris, at which point Twitter and the news went wild. A good example of how the news went nuts over this is described in Entertainment Weekly's write-up after the Paris show. So, Tuesday night, during a stop in Paris, France, for his world tour, the original One Direction defector performed an unreleased song.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't read this quote before we recorded this episode. That's how they introduced him, the original One Direction defector? He's not even the original One Direction defector. Somebody else defected before him. Anyway.
He's getting blamed for everything in this world. Everybody blames Harry Styles.
Hence the name of our podcast.
So, anyways, now that we've moved past One Direction defector, which I realize is very hard to move past, performed an unreleased song titled Medicine, and the lyrics have had fans buzzing about whether the Brit is identifying as bisexual. Quote, "The boys and the girls are here, I mess around with him, and I'm okay with it." Styles can be heard singing on a clip from the concert one fan shared with Twitter last night below. It wasn't long before others were praising the Sign of the Times artists for creating the new bi anthem and conducting their own amateur sleuthing. So that was how the news responded to it.
Yeah, so we want to say, like, this, and you guys, if you're listeners of our show, if you're new listeners, welcome. If you are old listeners and you've listened to our episodes like Lights Up, like, you kind of know how we like to talk about things. Mm-hmm. This isn't really a show where we get into Harry's personal life. It's not a show where we're going to, like, speculate about, like, particular identifications or labels. That's not really what we do here. But we say all this, you know, to be honest about how the song was received mm-hmm. by the public, by the media, and by fans. And, of course, like, all of this discussion was a big part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of the song information that we have, this song was written by Harry Styles, Kid Harpoon, Mitch Rowland, and Alex Raymond Salaban. And that's pretty much all that we know about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Ever since then, it has lived on the internet in the wide variety of YouTube uploads of Harry's live performances of the song, which is how we found it, which I guess we'll get into right now.
Yeah. So, Key, do you want to talk about your history with Medicine?
Sure. So it's actually kind of funny because, like I've shared in this podcast before, I wasn't a Harry Styles fan at this time. Like, I think maybe I was, like, maybe a little bit aware of him as, like, a somebody who was in One Direction. I guess I heard Sign of the Times, but I wasn't, like, a Harry Styles fan, you know? And this definitely broke into my, you know, understanding. I was on Twitter at the time, and I remember seeing Troye Sivan tweet about it. And that's, like, in my brain is, like, something that I remember about when this happened and how I first knew about it is Troye Sivan tweeted on March 13th, "The lyrics of Medicine by @HarryStyles have me," and then he has three emojis that I guess would try to phonetically describe, but it's fine. I don't think anybody needs to hear me do that. But yeah, so I definitely absorbed at that time in 2018, like, the discussion around it and people talking about it, even as somebody who wasn't really a Harry Styles fan at all. So that is kind of interesting. I don't think I watched a performance of it. I don't know if at that time in March of 2018, there were, like, good uploads of it on YouTube, and I didn't seek them out. So it was very much like I was aware of this as a news story at the time. Like, as a queer person on the internet, I was aware of it, and I just, like, saw people that I knew talking about it. So it broke through to, like, my social group, but not enough for me to, like, really get into the song at that point in my life. That was, like, what my first encounter with the song was. And then, like, when I think it might have taken, like, until I became a Harry fan, which was around when Lights Up came out. It's possible maybe around the Met Gala or his profile in Rolling Stone at that time. I was like, these were all events that, like, was making my awareness of Harry kind of grow and my interest in him grow, really peaking with when Lights Up came out, which was, like, you know, I've said it many times before, was like my intro to Harry and my intro to the fandom, and really got me interested in him and his work. But yeah, so it must have been around then when I was motivated to kind of seek out the song and listen to it and watch, you know, the famous performances of it, like the St. Paul performance, I think kind of looms large as the most viewed YouTube performance of the song. So I definitely viewed it then, and it's, yeah, it's by that time, you know, it's mentioned in the Rolling Stone profile, so I was aware of these things from things like that. But yeah, I watched it on YouTube. I unfortunately didn't get to see it live. Like, I'm very jealous of everybody who got to see it live on that first tour. And yeah, I really liked the song when I saw it on YouTube, and we can kind of get into in a second, like our thoughts and feelings about the song. But if you, what about you? What was your kind of intro to it?
So my first exposure to the song was in 2018. A line from it was the title to a fan fiction.
what an intro.
I mean, it was erotica. We don't need to talk about what erotica it was.
We really don't.
But yeah, so that was the impact that it had on my community at the time. And then I found it when I became a Harry around SNL time. So I was just searching around and found it. I don't know. I learned about it as part of Harry lore, and it sounded awesome. And I listened to the song, and it was great, and I liked it. Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely a thing that happens when you first become a fan of somebody where, you know, you go down that YouTube spiral and you watch all the stuff you missed. And yeah, Medicine is definitely a very essential part of that for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So how do you feel about the song, its sound and lyrics, Kate?
Yeah, so I really like the song. I think it's a great live song. Like, you can just tell from the YouTube videos of people performing it. Like, it's an exciting song live. He incorporates a lot of performance elements. Like, there's that, like, solo moment of the song where he's not singing, where he does, like, that little dance break, and that's really fun. And then there's a part of the song where people clap along. And it's, like, to me, it's a song that works really well in a live setting. The bass guitar in the song, I love. That's something that, like, really stands out to me. I think I don't even so much have more to say about the music other than that. I think with some of his other songs that we have recordings of, there's more to say because we can kind of pick out the instrumentation better and like have thoughts on production and things like that. But to me, like, the song and the music really just complements the lyrics. Like, there's a sexuality to the instrumentation of the song. There's like a sexiness to the music itself that I think is really successful about it. But yeah, other than the bass line, which really sticks out at me, I don't have too many thoughts on that. I do love the lyrics, and I think we're going to get into a little bit more of a detailed breakdown of those later, so I'll kind of save some of what I have to say. But yeah, I mean, really, really, really cool song to hear live, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this song fucks. It's great. And
that's a good, it does fuck. That's the operative word.
Yeah. And it fucks in all the ways. literally. Yeah. The bass line on this song kills. The little dances that he does during it are great. He knows it's great. I have to be honest, one of my favorite elements from Performance of Medicine that we're so fortunate to have because it was performed live is the drums on Medicine go really hard. And obviously Sarah's on the drums and she's on her big kit, and I think there's a clip of her in Japan or something where she's just like tonking the drums, like she's really going at it. I'm like, oh my god. You really Sarah's the front man of my band.
Truly, it's energy. It goes hard. It's a rock song, you know. A lot of Harry's songs kind of toe that line, like pop rock, you know, but it's
very firmly a rock song. It's very firmly a rock song. It's so it's very, very good. Okay, so now we're going to break down the lyrics of the song kind of stanza by stanza and talk about some of the themes that way.
So I think, like, this to me, like, was definitely the most natural way to discuss this song, because that's what stands out about it the most to me and kind of goes hand in hand with the performance. So we might mention, you know, some things with the lyrics as we go through some performance elements, but definitely, like, the lyrics were what was talked about the most. And yeah, so this is like a huge piece of what's so important about this song for sure.
I'll be doing our dramatic reading for the evening.
Oh, so, God, here we go.
The first stanza. You have to be serious, Key.
Wow, come on. You're really putting your face close to the mic.
here to take my medicine, treat you like a gentleman. Give me that adrenaline, I think I'm going to stick with, and it's either you or it there.
Yeah, so I guess that's the first time that this is being mentioned in the very first verse, that there are still, because this song was never officially released, we never got official lyrics for the song, some questions about what some of the lyrics actually are. So when those crop up, we can talk about them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this particular one doesn't change the meaning of anything. And I don't think it matters. Well, actually, it does. I think I'm going to stick with you, and I think I'm going to stick with it are actually very different.
I think so, things. Too. I think that they are very different things.
Yeah.
Do you want to get into your feelings about that? Because I have some thoughts on that, too.
I guess my should I give this whole spiel now? Maybe this is like at the start of this is the best time to say this, because I feel like I have kind of a lot to say about like the fact that we don't know the lyrics of this song, like some of them anyway. So just to get into that for a little bit, like there's something really special to me about this song's existence and how we don't have an official recording of it. Of course, I want an official recording of it. Like, obviously, I'd like to listen to like a high quality audio version of Medicine. But at the same time, like the only versions that we have are these like live performance videos and audio recordings. Mm-hmm. And these are kind of like refracted, right? There's like a distance to them and there's a lack of clarity because literally in a live concert, like you can't always tell what he's saying every word. So to really experience the song, you need to be there. Right, which is tragic and crushing to me personally because I was not there, but is something that I think is really special.
There's some sort of like there's a certain mythos defining medicine.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was getting at. Yeah.
Yes, there's a certain mythos to discovering medicine. Like you were talking about the YouTube rabbit holes. This is a very special kind of YouTube rabbit hole. Like. I feel like discovering medicine is like one of the times where you really start feeling like you're part of the community because you're engaging with things that other people have captured and other experiences other people have had. You know what I mean?
Definitely. And it reminded me actually, like we talked in I think our last episode about the film Velvet Goldmine. Mm-hmm. And it kind of in thinking about this, it reminds me a little bit of that and like kind of the way that fans pass things to each other. Mm-hmm. And a mythos kind of gets created and a narrative kind of gets created through this discussion that I think like the ambiguity of the lyrics of Medicine, some of the lyrics anyway, some of the lyrics as we'll get into in a minute aren't ambiguous at all, but some of them where it's not totally clear what he's saying, you know, there's different camps of people who want the lyrics to be this or who want it to be that, who feel really strongly, there's people who don't really care either way. It creates this kind of, mythos is a really good word for what that does, that I think is something that has really helped the song and kind of the way we all think about it as fans. Mm-hmm. So I really like that about it. I don't necessarily know if I like it enough to like be happy that we don't have an actual official version, but it is something that I think is really special.
It is special. It's special for this moment in time. I won't say that it's special for forever. I'm saying that maybe, you know, Harry, if you want to have a 25th anniversary edition of Harry Styles self-titled when I'm, oh God, that came out in 2017. How old am I going to be in?
There's a lot of math involved in that.
Well, listeners, I think that I'll be in my 40s, but I'll still be a Harry when I'm in my 40s, I think.
I'm going to bump Medicine in my 40s. Are you kidding me? Yeah, but so anyway, that was a digression, but I think something that I definitely wanted to kind of say that I think will permeate throughout this discussion of the lyrics. But yeah, I think I'm going to stick with you, obviously, is different from I think I'm going to stick with it, which is like the action that this song is about versus the person that the song is about, which I think is interesting. Yeah, but other than that, like just the first stanza is where we get the central metaphor of the song and what the title is, right?
Which is Medicine.
Here to take my medicine, which I just have to say, like, we're not going to get super sexually explicit in this podcast, but like as we go through the song, it will emerge, as I'm sure is not a surprise to anybody who listens to this podcast, that this song is about oral sex. And I just like that metaphor of like taking medicine, I just find very evocative and interesting and sexy. Yeah. So that comes right at the beginning of the song and I really like it.
It's very interesting how in his songs about this topic, so far he's used medicine and food. Two things that you
essential need. Essential items that you can't live without.
Two essential items that you can't live without. So thank you for that information, dear Harold. We'll move on to the next stanza now. Here to take my medicine, Take my medicine. Rest it on your fingertips. Up to your mouth. Feeling it out. Feeling it out.
Yeah. What do you have to say about that, Gray?
Well, you go first because you had notes. Key highlighted this specific section and like only this section to put notes in the song. So I don't know, Key, what are your thoughts that you have to say about this?
Well, first of all, this is the most sexually explicit, I feel like, part of the song. Like this mm-hmm. is, I mean, I don't know, maybe I'll scroll down and change my mind. But yeah, this is a very sexually explicit part of the song. I guess there's like all these other interpretations of the song that I guess, like, I don't know if we're gonna get into. Some people when it first came out were like, is it about drugs? It's like, I don't really feel like it's that ambiguous. People said that with Watermelon Sugar too. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's very clear what Watermelon Sugar is about. I feel like it's very clear what this song is about. So yeah, in that context, these are the most sexually explicit lyrics. But yeah, but I think another part of why I say this lyric is explicit is because, like, when we think about Watermelon Sugar and what separates the song from it, there are other lyrics that we'll get into as we discuss the other lyrics mm-hmm. of the song that kind of leave the song open and ambiguous in terms of, like, the body parts involved, like, the people involved, like, whatever. I feel like this particular stanza is the least ambiguous in that regard. Like, I think what body parts are being discussed in this part of the song is made pretty clear by these lyrics.
Kind of like, so something has to rest on fingertips and there is a mouth.
Wow, you nailed that. Great.
All right, we all are understanding what. Okay, all right.
And he does, like, when he sings this live, like, he sometimes performs accompanying motions, which I find interesting.
I find it very amusing when he points at his own mouth. Thank you for the information, Harry. He's given us a lot of information.
This is an
here.
Intellectual discussion.
We're
people.
Gonna just push through it. Okay. So I had a few, got drunk on you, and now I'm wasted. And when I sleep, I'm gonna dream of how you.
So, I love this stanza.
Me too. It's so fun.
I have had a few, got drunk on you, and now I'm wasted, I just think is a great lyric, first of all. Like, just on every level, I just think that's a great lyric.
It's so great. I can't believe that he, like, nobody came up with it before, because it's really good.
Yeah. That, like, yeah, the very, like, party vibe of this song and the, and you know, you're in a club, and like the kind of mixing of metaphors here, and like the use of, there's like an interesting, like, there's like alcohol that is being talked about in this song, and also medicine. So there's kind of like a substances, like, aspect to the song mm-hmm. too, that kind of like emerges in some of the lyrics that I think is interesting. But yeah, just the kind of metaphor in this lyric I really like. And then, of course, and when I sleep, I'm gonna dream of how you. And then the last word in that sentence is not filled in. Mm-hmm. So that is a really fun aspect of this song that I think also, like, it is part of what creates, like, the mythos about the song. It's like people mm-hmm. talking about this, and like this one, I think, is pretty clearly tasted, and that's what everybody yells, and that's mm-hmm. what obviously rhymes with wasted the most, and like we all know that that's what this word is. But I find it very cute and cheeky that that word isn't said. It's kind of like, I don't know, like when he performs this song, a lot of the times after he's done, he'll do like a cheeky little curtsy, and it reminds mm-hmm. me a little bit of that. It's like a little bit of a wink where it's like, you know what I mean, but I'm not gonna say it, you know. So I like that aspect of it a lot.
I think it's really fun watching early performances in Medicine where nobody knew where the lyrics were. And so he sings, I had a few, got drunk on you, now I'm wasted, and when I sleep, I'm gonna dream of how you. And then there's like nothing. It's so funny because by the end of the tour, obviously, when he says, and when I sleep, I'm going to dream of how you, the entire arena shakes and goes, taste it.
Yeah. And he does like a cute little gesture with that too. Yeah. Yeah. I love that. It does make me wonder when they originally recorded it, how that was done. If it was just they left it silent and it was a cheeky little thing, or he had like the backup singers come in with the taste it, or, you know, but I would imagine he would have left it ambiguous. Yeah. But yeah, I love that. And then I also love, can I just say, like, the melody on this part is really good.
It's so good, yeah.
Yeah, especially, like, I've had a few, got drunk on you, and then the now I'm wasted part that goes into falsetto I really, really like. Yeah, so this is definitely one of my favorite parts of the song.
Mm-hmm. All right, so if you go out tonight, I'm going out, because I know you're persuasive. You've got the, okay, and then this one is debatable, and Key and I actually have disagreements on this part of the song. So it's either you've got the something, or you've got the salt and, or maybe something else. I got me an appetite. Now I can taste it. I actually think that this is the most explicit part of the song, but it depends.
Depending on what you
it
think,
it depends on what you think the lyric is.
Yeah, I like both of these versions. When I hear it, I tend to hear "You Got That Something" more. Like when I listened to it, when I watched a couple performances before we recorded, that's what I tend to hear. I think either works. I like salt because then it's followed by "I got me an appetite." Mm-hmm. Like that, I think is.
I think
cool.
It's very clever, which yeah. is why that's the one that I prefer.
Yeah, I just tend to hear something, and I think either way, like I like the lyric, but mm-hmm. yeah, it's definitely debated. It's not clear when you hear it which of these versions is the real one. Mm-hmm. Oh, I also want to say the first lyric in this stanza, "If you go out tonight, I'm going out because I know you're persuasive." I like that lyric a lot too, because I think we've all been there. Mm-hmm. And there's just somebody who, like, I never go out, and I'm like an introvert, and I, you know, I stay in my own and do my own little thing. But there's definitely people in my life where, like, if they ask me to do something that I wouldn't normally want to do, like, mm-hmm. I'm there because they ask me. And so that's like a very universal, like, we've talked about this before. Harry kind of sometimes has these kind of obvious lyrics that just are very, like, emotionally true and just communicate mm-hmm. like a very clear idea. And to me, this is what that lyric is.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so we're getting dizzy, oh, we're getting dizzy, oh. La 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 la. You get me dizzy, oh, you get me dizzy, oh.
Yeah, I don't have much to say about the lyrical content here. I like the la da 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 da's. This song, like the call and response of the song. So not only is it like the tasted, which the audience can do call and response, but this is like kind of like a call and response with the backup singers and like that line that the audience can kind of sing along to too. So that part's fun.
This part of the song specifically reminds me of the Rolling Stones. And he also, I will say, during this song, he, especially in his later performances, he directly mimics the way that Mick Jagger dances. So when he does his little dance on the stage, he mimics the way that Mick Jagger, he used to dance when he was younger and hotter. I don't know if he does it now.
Wow, drag Mick Jagger on this podcast.
Mick Jagger, I would never.
But yeah, I actually want to say, because before, you know, I kind of dismissed the idea that this song was about drugs, and I don't think that it is, but I do want to say, this song talks about alcohol. It talks about medicine. I think that there is how I view it anyway. This is my own personal interpretation of the song. Obviously, if you interpret the song to be about something, it's art. Like, I can't tell you that you're wrong. But the way that I interpret the song, I think kind of drugs/alcohol/medicine, like these things are being used as metaphors, mm-hmm. right? To communicate an idea about what the song is about. And so this part, we're getting dizzy. I can see kind of where people get the substance thing from that. And I don't think that's by accident, but I think it's because it's part of like the metaphor of what this song is using, if that makes sense.
And it's not that Harry has never used drugs as a metaphor before. Like he, in Meet Me in the Hallway, he uses morphine as
true.
A metaphor.
Mm-hmm. And morphine kind of, you know, brings to mind, yeah, that same kind of like medicine. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah. So he uses sense. Different things like that. So people potentially are reading it a little too literal, I guess, or maybe they just don't want it to be about what it's about. You decide. All right. So, tingle running through my bones, fingers to my toes, tingle running through my bones. The boys and the girls are in. I mess around with either him or them, and I'm okay with it. My question first is, when you first listened to the song, did you think it was him or them? I'm always curious with people because I've had different responses from people.
I guess I think them, but I'm not somebody who thinks that this difference particularly matters very much. Like, I think a couple of the other lyrics we've talked about, I think the difference in meaning is more interesting. This one, a lot of people discuss, mm-hmm. and I personally, like, I'm not going to tell other people what to care about, but to me, the difference between him and them here is, like, not very important.
It's negligible for me, yeah.
Yeah, the meaning of this lyric is very clear, and it doesn't so much matter to me which of these words is the lyric.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it doesn't matter to me either. I was just curious because it seems like people listen to different stuff, but I first heard them as well. I think that possibly there is a desire in him for, like, less ambiguity. I don't know. I think that I don't really hear him in the song, but everybody is entitled to their own opinion. Like I said, the difference is negligible. Obviously, this is the section of the song that the media focused on the most.
Mm-hmm.
So, Key, do you want to talk about what you think about the placement of this in the song is and, like, your feelings about that?
Sure, yeah. So, first of all, like I said before, I talked about other lyrics in the song being the most sexually explicit. These are the most explicit, you know, not sexually explicit. Like, these lyrics in the song are extremely explicit with what it's about. The boys and the girls are in. I mess around with if it's him or them, either one. Like, it's just very upfront about what this lyric is and what this song is. And one of the most upfront, you know, statements about it that Harry as an artist has ever made, you know, in his art or otherwise. And so for that, I love this lyric, and I think it's really empowering. I think in concert, to see him sing this and to see people in the audience sing it, and that dialogue between artist and fan, and like, this was the part of the song that I think when he first sang it was a little less audible. He sang it in his lower register. And then, like, mm-hmm. as the tour progressed, like, he just really, like, belts this part out in, like, the sweet high belt of his voice. And, like, just, I think as a moment in concert, it works really, really well. And it's just a super empowering moment for me as a queer fan and for a lot of other people. So I love the lyric for that. I will say, I don't know if this lyric, like, totally is in place in this part of the song. Don't hate me if that's an unpopular take. It's like, to me anyway, I don't know if it totally is like in the place of the song that makes the most sense with like the progression of the story that's being told. That doesn't mean I dislike it. Like, I love the lyric, but yeah, I just feel like to me it's a little how do I put this?
It's kind of like he was writing it and then he was like, oh, I want people to, I think I need to have a line where people, they know what this is about. What should I do? Should I, I'm just going to say boys and girls, both. All right. is this the official statement on this part of the song? All right. Okay.
Yeah, and that's like, obviously that's conjecture, but it does speak to me about like the rest of the song is much more anchored in this like specific experience, mm-hmm. I feel like, and it's very sensory and it's about touch and taste and like mm-hmm. going out on the specific night. And this lyric to me isn't as much of a part of that. I think it sits apart from that, but at the same time, like, obviously it's such a great moment and mm-hmm. such an empowering thing. To see live in concert. So that's kind of like my long-winded like explanation of kind of like my feelings on that part of the song.
Even though it does feel like in kind of a weird place in the song, man, I fucking love this. And one of the friends of the pod, Jack, she made a compilation of every single time he sang this in concert.
Mm-hmm.
And I will link in the description of the podcast that link to the video, but it's very interesting seeing how he becomes more comfortable singing that part of the song and like the fan engagement with that part of the song too. Cause like, you know, fans start like going nuts after he sings that part of the song cause they feel really seen. So yeah, it's just
this huge moment.
It's huge. It's really cool.
And two, it's like, I'm sure it's hard to sing a song like this when people don't know the words. Like, mm-hmm. it's always a risk at a concert to perform a song people don't know,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
No matter what it's about. And add on top of it that this is like a very vulnerable song about, you know, things that I think he either hasn't discussed or have not really been present in this explicit way in his art before. And so mm-hmm. I'm sure it was very nerve-wracking to perform that to an audience that had no idea what it was. And so I think naturally as people learn it and sing it back to you and you get that feedback, I'm sure it was like super special to kind of mm-hmm. like start to get that as people learned it. And I love that too. How cool must it have been to have nobody know it? And then like maybe a couple weeks later, like, or even a couple days later, you know, everybody in the pit is like screaming it. Like,
God, that's gotta be bananas.
Yeah. To see that impact that you have on people, I think is just really cool. So I think that this song is like so special for a wide variety of reasons, but that too. And then I guess like the last thing that I have to say anyway about this lyric is, and I'm okay with it. That's just like a really powerful, like,
mm-hmm.
like, again, this isn't the most poetic or couched in metaphor lyric of the song, but like, it is just so direct, and it is so proud, and, like, I don't know, that, like, sounds a little cheesy, but what the hell, this is our Pride Month episode, like, what, like, lyric could we want more than this lyric in our Pride Month episode, like, the boys and the girls are in, I mess around with him or them, like, and I'm okay with it, it's, like, what a, it's such a triumphant lyric.
Yeah, and I mean, great. Like, it still is hard to be okay with that sometimes, like, I mean, that's why Pride still exists, because for a lot of people, being okay with that part of who you are is difficult. I mean, I know that I've had those struggles, not getting too personal about it or anything, but especially, like, if you're, like, a multi-gender attracted person, there's lots and lots of stuff to sometimes deal with about that. So I think especially for a lot of his multi-gendered attraction fans, like, people who are on the bi spectrum thereabouts, I think that that's why this song resonated with them, especially in the news articles and tweets and everything, because, yeah, just being like, I'm okay with it, that's very powerful for a lot of people.
And also there's, I think, you know, interesting way that lyric speaks to a vulnerability. Mm-hmm. Even saying, and I'm okay with it, I think acknowledges the fact that that may not have always been the case, mm-hmm. or that for a lot of people that isn't the case, and that's something that might be difficult. And I think to hear that from, like, a rock star, because, like, that's mm-hmm. what he is at when he performs this song live. This is, like, a rock song. He's, like, dancing the hell out of it. Like, it has such strong instrumentation and guitars and drums, like we said before. It's, like, this bring the house down kind of rock song, and to kind of hear that from a rock star is something that's really cool and powerful too.
I like what you said when you were talking about vulnerability, because I was kind of thinking to myself about, like, what the difference for me this is between this and Katy Perry's, like, I Kissed a Girl song. And I do think that there's very much a difference in the vulnerability of the song, because he's not really, like, this is a sexual song, but he's not really trying to, it's about a sexual experience that he had, that he finds, I do think that this line kind of shows that it's an experience he had, he finds meaningful, and that is something that's very vulnerable. It's not something that he's, like, laughing about, or, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not.
Yeah. For sure. They have, yeah, the laughing about it part is, like, yeah, like Katy Perry's I Kissed a Girl, like, the songs have totally different tones, and, like, the music of the song speaks to that too, and, like, we could do a whole unpacking of why those right. two songs are, like, basically opposites, but we probably don't want to get into it here, but I do think, yeah, other parts of the song, I think, are in contrast to this lyric, which I think maybe is why it feels a little out of place to me, just, like, in exactly the part of the song that this exists in. But to speak to that idea of vulnerability, like, I think just as much as it's powerful to hear from a rock star singing to you on stage, like, the boys and the girls are in, I mess around with them, and I'm okay with it, like, it's just as powerful to hear, like, I think I'm gonna stick with it, or, like, mm-hmm. I'm feeling it out, you know. And, like, we're gonna get into a second another lyric that's kind of like, you know, I figured out I kind of like it. Like, it's like mm-hmm. it's in this moment of almost, yeah, figuring things out, things being kind of open-ended.
Yeah, none of it's like,
I also find really cool.
None of it is like, this is the funny thing I think about, especially Harry's songs about sex, is he's a rock star, but none of his songs that are about sex are about, like, how awesome he is. Like, they're just yeah. about enjoying it. And in this one, I think this is one of the more vulnerable rock songs about sex that I have heard. Like, he's not flexing that he's, like, amazing, or, like, that he's, like, super adventurous. He's, like, having a sexual experience that, you know, he's becoming okay with, and that he's kind of liking, and that he's feeling out, which, I don't know, he's just great. I'm sorry, I shouldn't devolve into just he's so great on my Harry Styles podcast, but thanks to viewers like you, we've made 15 of these. So.
But yeah, no, I think that's true. And I think, like, I guess what I'm saying is that, like, there are these two parts mm-hmm. of the song where it's mm-hmm. like, you know, the boys and girls are in, I was around with them and I'm okay with it. That kind of speaks to this, like, arrived at a conclusion type of mm-hmm. attitude and mindset that I think is very powerful. But other parts of the song speak to that moment of flux and mm-hmm. of exploration. And I think those themes are very much in the song too. And I really like that too, and I think that's kind of powerful and vulnerable in its own way.
Yeah, so the next stanza is, like we said, I'm coming down, I figured out I kind of like it, and when I sleep I'm gonna dream of how you
wow, yeah, big controversy over this blank lyric. So yeah, let's unpack the Frizzlier first. I'm coming down. I figured out I kind of like it.
This is so cute.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like the lyric too. Yeah. And I'm coming down, of course, relates to like the substances stuff we talked before, relates to like the come down after like a sexual experience, you know. Yeah, I like that lyric. And then, yeah, of course, and when I sleep, I'm going to dream of how you... So that's an echoing of the other lyric that was left open-ended before that was pretty clearly tasted. I find this one very funny because I have no idea what this is. A lot of people seem to think it's Ride It. I don't think that, like, I have a hard time thinking that that's what this is. I don't know if that fits the vibe.
Was it you who said to me once that speculated that it was Take It? Then,
oh.
I don't know. I'm going to dream.
I don't think that's what it is. Neither of them really rhyme. Like, so, and then when I sleep, I'm going to dream of how you ride it doesn't really rhyme. Right. So I don't love that. It's not as natural of a rhyme as tasted. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, some people just say taste it again, and that doesn't work either. So I find that very funny that when you listen to live performances of this, the crowd is like shouting different things. Mm-hmm. And so it just sounds like people shouting. And I find that funny.
It's extremely funny. Although I will say that it seems like by Minneapolis, he just accepted that everybody screams taste it there anyway. And so he stuck on his tongue during that part of the song. I was like, yeah.
Yeah. And for all we know, it is tasted, but it doesn't, that's not as natural of a rhyme. Yeah. So I'm not so sure. I kind of like that we don't know.
I do like that we don't know. I think the point is that it's supposed to be ambiguous in both times. So,
yeah. And if we, like we said before, like if we got a recorded version of the song, this might still be blank and we might have still had this conversation this whole time. So,
yeah, like what is it supposed to be? And then, okay, so the last part of the song is just a chorus. So, yeah, that's it. That's Medicine.
So yeah, so now that we've kind of gone through all the lyrics, this is kind of like a less structured, we tend to kind of talk about songs in conjunction with themes, like that's what we did with Lights Up, but this song I don't think lends itself to that as much because it's all in the lyrics. Like we said, we can kind of talk about the metaphors that are in there and how he might be using kind of like alcohol or the idea of medicine or like all these things to kind of like explore the themes of the song, but I think it makes more sense to kind of just work through them because the lyrics are, I think, pretty clear and upfront about what they're about. So kind of just, do you have, after we've kind of worked through all that, some kind of overall thoughts?
So I guess my overall thoughts on this song again are that I like the song. The song is meaningful to me. I think it's really fun and I like watching videos of it and I am trying to manifest it for Love on Tour, and he keeps telling me to stop having hope about it, but I'm not gonna stop having
hope. I do have hope about it. Was that somebody else who told you that? Because I want it to happen.
You want it to happen, but you keep telling me that it's not going to.
I don't know. I don't, it's not a guarantee, I'll definitely say that, but do you remember at his show in LA, like Fine Line Live, people chanted for it
and then he didn't give it to them.
I know. I kind of hope that, like, he knows based on that that people want it. I don't know. I would love to hear it again. I can understand, like, it would be kind of out of the ordinary if he, like, performed an unreleased song, like, on his next tour when he will probably cut some of his release songs from his first album. But I would love to hear it. I'm kind of desperate for it. It kind of, if he never performs it live again, I think I would be crushed a little bit that I never got to see it. But
yeah, I don't know. I have a feeling that, like, he could slide it into the encore of the show.
Harry, if you're listening, please do that.
Please do that.
yeah, I just really like the song. That's my overall thoughts.
This song is called Medicine.
Hi, everyone. So the reason you just heard that little noise just now is because Gray and I came back after we recorded our initial audio for the episode to talk about an aspect of the song that we kind of danced around the first time and that we felt was mostly missing from our initial analysis. So yeah, right now we're going to go over briefly kind of why that was, go into what we missed, and yeah, just get into our overall concluding thoughts on Medicine. So that's what you're hearing right now.
Yeah, we recorded this over a week ago, and we really did a lot of reflecting on the episode throughout the editing process, and we kind of struggled how to approach this part because we felt like there actually was kind of some glaring omissions from the original because of the way that we talked about it. So we're going to, rather than talking about the song lyric by lyric again, sort of talk about some overarching themes that we kind of, like I said, danced around and, yeah, reflect on why we danced around it and, like, what those themes are. To embrace that, we're going to just kind of stop beating around the bush. We did not properly address that this song is very sexually explicit. We kind of felt like it went against the nature of the song itself to dance around what was being talked about in the song, which was
exactly
gay oral sex. Like, we spent our whole analysis talking about kind of like, oh, teehee, like, what parts could this be about? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, I don't know. It's kind of ambiguous. And, like, it's not. Like, the song is not ambiguously about gay oral sex. And I don't know, Keith, do you want to take this off my hands and kind of talk about your thoughts on that? Because I have a lot of thoughts and feelings, but you in particular were insistent that, like, this was missing. And I am really grateful that you brought that up. And I kind of want to hear more about your thoughts on that first.
Sure. Yeah. So I guess the first thing that I want to say is that just straight up, like, even in this part of the podcast, when we're going to endeavor to discuss this in a more explicit and clear way, I'm just not somebody who is super comfortable talking explicitly about sex, and it particularly on the internet. And I'm hyper aware whenever we make this podcast that the internet is forever. And yeah, that just in society in general, like, sex is a taboo topic, and speaking explicitly about sex and sexual acts and what have you is something that, I don't know, I was a little initially uncomfortable, hence the way we danced around it in the episode, just putting online and just, like, having live out there. And then listening back to it, I realized, like, I was more uncomfortable leaving it unsaid because I think it's such, it's integral to the song, and it is what the song is. And if we don't talk about it frankly the way that it's written, and we don't talk frankly about that as a theme, yeah, we're just kind of dancing around it. So I wanted to be honest about, like, kind of my own discomfort in that respect, and just, like, even I hope I don't, but if I laugh a little bit at times in the show too, it's like, you know, it's the way I was raised. We're raised in kind of like a sex negative culture, and so that's kind of what I'm hoping to get away from with this discussion.
Yeah, and I'm obviously, you know, not immune to that either. I think that there can be a challenge in that. Obviously, in a sex negative culture, sex can be seen as inherently funny and not serious, not taken seriously. And, like, it's not like this is a serious song, but, you know, we decided to take it seriously and then chicken out a little bit. So we have both sinned, and in many ways, but we have committed a sin of analysis. If our religion is analysis, we have committed a sin against analysis, in which we have basically excised the most significant aspect of this song by pretending that it's ambiguous what it's about.
So in terms of the ambiguousness that you were just talking about, like, I feel like, and I realized this even just over the past few days in editing the episode and kind of just rethinking about the way that I think about medicine as a song, like, I kind of feel like I let the media and kind of other people's reactions to this song, particularly from when it came out, inform my own thoughts and opinions about it in a way that I don't particularly like, because I think particularly in the initial wake of this song, there was kind of a desire to step back from it and pretend that it was less explicit than it is, because I think people were a little afraid, I guess, maybe, or hesitant that, like, what would happen is a few weeks later or whatever, Harry would come out and be like, that's not what it's about, or, like, something would happen that would, like, take it away from people, particularly fans, right? So that was part of it. Part of it, too, is the media's emphasis on the identity part of the song, the particular lyric, the boys and the girls are here, which we talked about, you know, in and the, like, episode, yeah, proper, and how the media focused on that, which I think is a super important and great lyric in the song, but that's not the only part of the song. It's just one line in the song, and, like, the bulk of the rest of the song is like a sexually explicit song, and that's what it is. And so I kind of feel like I thought that, yeah, I let that kind of get to me a little bit and inform my reading of it in a way that I think over the past few days I've realized isn't exactly accurate to how I really feel, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I have to say I feel it too. I mean, I had friends say to me who were Harrys, especially when I was like early on in Harrydom, because I feel like some of this attitude has at least subsided in the past like 6 months. But when I was here a year and a half ago, it was still, the attitude around medicine was still a little bit different, which is that because he's never said anything about it, it could be about this, but it also could be about some totally other thing, and maybe it's not about gay oral sex. And since he hasn't confirmed that it's about gay oral sex, you shouldn't say it, you shouldn't be clear about it. And it's like, when you hear that enough times, and like, I guess this is very candid, I don't think that all of our listeners follow me on Twitter, but I used to get these messages from strangers, and they would tell me things like, you're just projecting all over medicine. And like, for me as well, like, it's tough to acknowledge what is very obvious about this song because of the attitude of the reaction to it. Like, you know, there's so many people who are nervous to claim it or who are just like homophobic and biphobic, sure, who will get angry at you for stating obvious facts. So that's definitely where some of my perspective comes from. But I don't know, just as a queer guy, and me and Kia's queer people, like, I'm tired. Like, I don't want to talk about it like that anymore. I want to talk about this song. This song is about like gay oral sex, and the boys and the girls are in and I mess around with them is a great line, and I'm really glad that a lot of people have found meaning in it. But this song is mostly about gay oral sex, like,
yeah.
And so we're gonna kind of talk about that thematically, because in denying it, like, we actually missed some good imagery. And like, we knew when we were talking about this that like, we were missing some imagery in the analysis because we were uncomfortable and we didn't want to get too explicit about it.
So basically, like, and it's not even so much that we denied that this is what the song is about. I think there's just this desire to kind of leave it open and ambiguous in a way that I honestly don't think it is. I think the song is very explicit, and that's part of what is so important about it, which is why we wanted to break this down. Because, you know, if we just missed a little like lyrical analysis here and there, I don't think it'd be important enough to come back and re-record. It's that this is a big part of why the song is so important and empowering, which we'll get into kind of after we talk about the specifics of the lyrics. So yeah, so just to kind of get into this, like, we're going to try and endeavor to go over some of the stuff that we thought we either danced around or left out the first time. So, and I apologize if you can hear the noise of the train going outside my apartment, but that is what that is. So the first thing that emerges is a line that we just didn't really talk about the first time. I don't know if we just missed it or if it was kind of because of this ambiguity thing that we were talking about before, but that's the line, "treat you like a gentleman," that's at the beginning of the song.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I this to me anyway, this is like my personal interpretation of that line. I think that line, like, tells the listener that the person, that the object of desire in the song is a man. I think that's what that line means.
Yeah, I definitely agree. "Treat you like a gentleman" makes it pretty clear who it's about.
Yeah, and there's, you know, like, yeah, and there's talk about like what I've heard about when I said before, you know, I let other people's kind of readings of the song impact how I read it. I heard from some people that "treat you like a gentleman" could refer to like the speaker themselves as the gentleman, and like they're treating the person as if the speaker is the gentleman. But that reading doesn't really work for me. I don't think it's very natural. I don't really think it's how people speak. So, you know, and everybody can have their own interpretation. I have no issue with it. But how I interpret that line, I think how Gray does too, based on what he just said, is, yeah, that this kind of sets out at the beginning of the song to kind of tell you what it's about, and that the object of desire in the song is a man. And that's going to kind of run through this analysis of the rest of the song. So there is some sexual imagery in the song that like isn't specific to gay oral sex and could be applied to different kinds of sex and all these different things. But like, I think with that opening line in the song and the song taken together as a whole, like that's what the song is about. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, it definitely, like, I can understand why somebody might think that he's talking about himself, because it's not like nobody has ever said, treat you like a gentleman, like I'm a gentleman. But I think that when you go through the song itself and see what else the song is saying, it does become clearer that if there is any ambiguity about who the gentleman is, there are two gentlemen. So
yes,
there are two gentlemen present.
Much like the two gentlemen recording this podcast right now. Well, in some ways.
A gentleman and a gentlemen. Yes. We have it.
Oh, I love being a gentle them.
Yes.
A he they, but yes, a gentle them, I think is a nice turn of phrase that I'm going to use. Mm-hmm. I actually love that. I've never heard of that before. But yeah, so what you just said actually brings to mind another thing that I don't think that we talked about, that maybe we kind of danced around the first time, which is, yeah, kind of those central metaphors that we're talking about running through the song. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, in our first recording, we did talk about the kind of like sensory and sensual imagery that runs through this song.
Yeah.
So you've got, you know, I'm just going to kind of point some of the stuff out. So you've got, like, you've got that salt, if that is indeed the lyric, but regardless of if it is or not, the next line, you got me an appetite.
Yeah.
It's all these like oral sensations, you know, that are being pointed out, whether that's like eating something with like salt or appetite, whether that's, you know, medicine that you're taking as the central metaphor of the song, whether that's getting drunk. So yeah, so kind of all these images come together to me anyway. I'm gonna dream of how you tasted. There's that again of taste. The lyrics are very sensory, and they're kind of using these different metaphors of these different things like medicine, alcohol, whatever, to, in my mind, like, use that imagery to stand in for sexual fluid.
Yeah, I think that it's very interesting how this tasted through line goes through the entire song. I will say that my favorite metaphor that I hadn't, that's my current favorite because I hadn't noticed it before, like, 5 minutes before we recorded this. Key was like, hey, did you ever think about, and I had to like stroll around my house for a little bit, was he said, I had a few got drunk on you and now I'm wasted is a double entendre. And you ever have like when somebody is like right and you want to like slap them over the head? Like that was the feeling that I had, because yes, it that is the next line is, I'm going to dream of how you tasted. So when he's getting drunk on you, what is he getting drunk on? What fluids is he getting drunk on? You know, there's some very easy mathematics that are going on there.
It's a great lyric independently, like we discussed in the episode proper. But yeah, that I do love that little added double entendre that kind of fits with all the rest of the imagery that this song uses.
Yeah, it's great.
So was there anything else? Those kind of are the things that pop out to me as the ones we didn't explicitly discuss in that context the first time that we talked about the song. Is there anything kind of in that vein, specific lyrics that you want to point out that you think we missed?
Yeah. So something I felt was missing from the original analysis is something that I think is rather unambiguous, that we even kind of pointed out in the initial analysis is unambiguous, which is rested on your fingertips. And we were like, oh, you know, what kind of genitals do you rest on your fingertips? We didn't even say genitals. We tiptoed around that. But the song is about dick. Like, you can rest a dick on your fingertips and you can't rest the other set of genitals on your fingertips without quite a lot of effort.
Any discomfort that any listener had over us trying to get through that, you should be thankful for that glorious moment that we ended up at. So there we go.
The amount of audio that we have gone through just to get that moment to you, listeners. you're welcome.
So true.
Key and I were both raised Catholic. We're not coping with it very well.
God, we didn't even mention that, but that's true. Maybe that's at the crux of all of this. Maybe it all goes back to that. When does something not get back to the Catholic Church? That's the real question. It's true. Like, all that imagery was things that we touched on initially, but that we danced around. So I'm kind of glad that we just kind of said it, and that, like, that's what the metaphors in the song stand in for. And that, yeah, so kind of part and parcel with that, like, we couldn't there. The whole reason why I felt it was so important to get into that in the first place is because, like, that explicit nature of the song and the fact that it's such an explicit song about gay oral sex is, like, really important, I think, to why the song is important and why the song's empowering. So, like, the other lyric in the song that we talked about a lot, and I'm okay with it, is also super empowering, but that I don't think should supersede the fact that the rest of the song, like, is just as important, you know?
Yeah, and I guess here what I will say is, like, when talking about LGBTQ identity, you know, yesterday in New York City, they had, like, a televised Pride event. The main people who run New York Pride had a main televised Pride event, and then there was a separate March for Queer Liberation. And I didn't attend the one that I should have because I was moving. But I wanted to go to the Queer Liberation March, and I didn't. But I was looking at a lot of the LGBT march stuff on TV, and a lot of times, like, you know, everybody's using all of these, you know, acronyms and, like, being like, oh, we're super supportive, but then I still feel like there's this huge discomfort with queer sex and, like, queer bodies. And I feel like the whole reason that we need Pride is because of this discomfort with queer sex and queer bodies that's still very much there and is kind of sometimes hidden through, you know, the certain commercialization of our identities and obscured by the way that fucking MasterCard can be like, we're LGBTQ allies, and I don't even know if they know what all the letters stand for. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's important for us to come back and talk about this because, you know, in the recording of this initially, we ourselves were expressing a certain, at least for me, I can't speak for Keith, but there is a certain discomfort with your own queer sexuality and your own queer body. And for me, a lot of time, I'll deal with that with humor, because that's kind of just the way that I deal with it. But bringing it back down to taking it seriously can be difficult. And so at least for me, like, that is part of why I wanted to revisit it, because, you know, the boys and the girls are in, I mess around with them and I'm okay with it, is what the media focused on. And I feel like that kind of aligns really with some of the way that LGBT identity is talked about, which is very much as this, like, kind of abstract thing. And this song is very much a song about experience and a song about bodies. And I think that that can be a very, very empowering thing for queer people, but it can also be a difficult thing to allow yourself to feel empowered by and to want to understand it as part of yourself and accept it as part of yourself.
Yeah. I think that's a great way to put it. I'm really glad that you said that. And I think, you know, this was our Pride episode. We're getting it out towards the end of Pride month. And yeah, I think that's a really important reflection on kind of how we discuss these topics. That aspect of queerness, I agree, is something that is taboo, is something that people can kind of get uncomfortable with. And we see this all the time. Every Pride month, we have the same discourse around sex and sexuality as part of Pride. And I think, yeah, we just wanted to make sure to emphasize that that's an important part of the song. There's nothing wrong with that. It's actually something that is beautiful and sexy and is a big part of why I love the song, is because of that overt sexuality of the song, which I think is really important and powerful. And I'm glad that we got to touch on it kind of in this way.
Yeah, me too. All right. So I think we're going to go out of this little sidebar and we'll take you back into the episode.
So you'll hear the little noise and you'll be back in our initial recording of the audio. All right.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This song is called Medicine.
But yeah, so then that can kind of bring us into kind of what he said about the song, which is not very much. You know, like, he's mentioned it when he was asked about it. I think he was asked if a recording of it would be released, and he said no, and that was just kind of something that he had done because it was an unreleased song. So it's been mentioned in profiles about him, but he's never, you know, explicitly discussed it or the lyrical content of the song. And so I think there's something interesting about that that means that, you know, without like an official breakdown of the behind the scenes of Medicine and like no official recordings of it, this song is a song that exists purely in live performance. Mm-hmm. And there's something really special about that. Like, we talked about this earlier a little bit in terms of the myth-making of the song and the mythos that that kind of can result in, of, like, people passing it to each other and being like, what do you think this lyric could be? And, like, watch this YouTube video and, like, you send your friend this link and it becomes, like, this thing. And an additional element of that to me that I'm sad I missed out on is, like, there's this really interesting, really cool, kind of vulnerable, like, trust dynamic there, too, where, like, he's chosen to kind of keep this and to keep this song and what it means to arenas and to that moment where he's just singing at fans. And that's really the only context in which it exists. And so there's something kind of really cool and special about that to me, that there's kind of like this, yeah, this like connection level of trust that doesn't really permeate outside that environment. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. No, I definitely agree. Because the performance of Medicine is all part of it. Like, people ask for a studio version of Medicine, and I can't even, like, in my brain imagine what it would be like, because so many of the elements of Medicine are audience participation. Like, the song really fucks because the audience says taste it, because he spurs the audience on to clap, because he, like, dances, and he's very animated, and all of those things add up to something so much bigger than it is. In some ways, like, it has some relation to my relationship with Kiwi, which is that, like, I like it.
I was
it.
Just about to say that.
Yeah. I like it on the album, but Kiwi is meant to be performed live. Like, it's not the same. Like, if I'm reaching for wanting to listen to Kiwi, I want to listen to it on a performance on YouTube or something, because well, unless I'm lazy and I just want to listen to it on Spotify. But you know what I mean. Like, it really is meant to be played in that setting. But this one even more so, because Kiwi doesn't really have element of audience participation written in, whereas, like, this one quite boldly does.
Yeah, for sure. I like that aspect of it a lot. I think Harry has shown in some of his other songs, like, I think there are a couple moments off the Fine Line record that have kind of built-in audience participation little moments in there. Like, I think maybe the son of a bitch one moment is one that stands out to me, about, like, the audience just screaming that at him. And there's, like, a couple little things like that I feel like he almost is thinking about that. And he's such a great live performer, and I'm so looking forward to seeing him live. Hopefully that happens, you know, this fall. Maybe it won't, and maybe it'll happen later, and that's just how the cookie crumbles. But I do think it's something he thinks about, and it is so inextricable to this song. Of course, if a recording of it did exist, I would be thrilled about that, and I would listen to it, and it'd be great to have both options. But I agree, it's hard to imagine now that this is the only form in which it exists, and I think that has had such it's been such an inextricable part of that myth making, is that it only exists in that live setting. And so, yeah, I think it's just, and because it's such a special song and it's such an experience between himself and fans, it's like, man, if he never performs that song again, like, it's crushing to us, because we didn't get to see it live the first time. But, like, what a fucking special thing to be able to say that, like, you saw that.
It's so, you know, lucky.
Like, that's gonna be really cool, and I hope that he does perform it live again and that we get to see it. Of course, I would rather be the option, but, like, yeah, what a special and cool experience that will be to all the lucky people who did see it that first time around.
Yeah, yeah, those lucky people. Whatever.
And we're not bitter at all.
I'm not bitter.
Can't you tell?
Maybe he didn't expect at Fine Line Live that people would be like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, maybe he was like, okay, they like it. It's really fun. And we have a really great time playing it. But now I have all these new songs. And these new songs are really fun and exciting. And then he gets on stage and they're like, Medicine. Medicine.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's totally aware. Like we've said before, I feel like Harry is very self-aware, and he's a smart guy. So I feel like that it probably didn't come as a shock to him. But yeah, I think how many times can we say this song is special? It just is. It's such an explicitly queer song, and it's like, it's so cool to see that performed and to watch those performances of it. And yeah, hopefully he does it again. But we'll always have St. Paul.
We will always have St. Paul.
Like, we'll always have Paris. We'll always have St. Paul.
St. Paul. So now we're going to move into some memorable performances. So first off, we're going to talk about Basil. How do you feel about his Basil performance? He's so nervous, and I'm just so proud of him.
Can you imagine being there?
I can.
Like, the thing is that live moments, and this is going to blow your mind, so like, get ready for the intellectual statement that I'm about to lay on you. Things that happen in time are done once they are over, and you don't get to experience them again, because that's how time works. Mm-hmm. So that was a very intelligent statement that I just made that wasn't circuitous at all. Mm-hmm. But what I mean by that is, so people weren't sure what the lyrics were that first time in Basel. Like, and if you're at a live show, you, like, I couldn't decipher. Like, can you imagine, you're in the audience, you're like trying to hear, but you're also trying to like support him by like, mm-hmm, interacting during the song and dancing and all these things. And imagine being like one of the people in Basel, and he just starts performing this song, and you don't hear what he says, and then you learn 2 days later that like, it was medicine, and you like missed it.
Uh-huh.
And you don't get to like know, you don't get to like be there for the performance and like know that those are the lyrics are. Like, I was just thinking that
would
about
have
that
driven me insane.
The performance.
Yeah,
right. Like, I would have been like, how can I go to another location on this tour? And I'm sure it must have been cool, and you get to say I was there when he did his first performance of it, and that's like something, mm-hmm, that's special too. But I was just thinking, like, imagine just having no idea what he's saying, and you're like oh, that was kind of a cool song. Like, wonder what this was. And then like 3 days later, it's like an international news headline, and you're like, what?
Yeah, it's not just some song that he's mumbling. It's, oh.
Yeah.
That's why he was mumbling that.
Yeah, but it's a good performance. I think it is. I think there's like this narrative that he was like super shy. And I think like, I can definitely see, especially because he sings that one line of the song in his lower register, it's like a little bit more of a contained performance. But this is still a great performance.
Oh,
like, I watched
great.
It today on YouTube. He's just a great live performer, and like, he does his dance break, and he's like super into it. So
he's amazing.
Sometimes, yeah, you need that energy of the crowd, and kind of knowing the song that like helps give you that energy to rock that performance. But yeah, it's still a good performance.
Yeah, and I think that a really fun performance of this is in Washington D.C. when he says "Happy Pride" after "And I'm Okay with It." I just think that's so cute. He's done a bunch of nods to LGBT fans while singing the song. There's another performance that I captured off of YouTube to put in my little Pride Flags thread, where he grabbed a Pride flag from the audience and waved it during Medicine. So that's really fun. I think it's really special to see in different performances that he knows that this song means a lot to a lot of people.
Yeah. For sure. And that there's like this, again, like we talked about before, there's like this communication that's happening between artist and audience with this song, especially because, mm-hmm, it only exists in that environment, in that live performance environment. But there's like a community aspect of this too. And like, we can talk about the LGBT plus community, the like a live concert is in a way a community.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that this is a cool way to kind of connect those things. And people have said, you know, when you're queuing for a Harry Styles concert and people show up and they're like, where's the Pride Parade? Because like, everybody's decked out, mm-hmm, in their rainbow paraphernalia and all these things. And so that's such a big part of his live shows. And it's such a cool, like, when you're like, I think us as adults, it's cool for us to go and be able to like express LGBT plus pride in like that safe environment, and to be able to commune with other fans and to look up to an artist who we know celebrates that and expresses that and sings songs like this. And that's really cool. But also, it's like a really cool, safe environment for people who maybe don't have an outlet to express that in, mm-hmm, their everyday lives, or maybe who are trying things out and who are learning about things. And that a concert in your, maybe it's your first concert, like that's such a, mm-hmm, cool, special like introduction for a lot of people. And so I just think these moments are special on so many levels, and just can't wait to experience it in person.
I know, I want it so bad. Okay, and then I guess to close out, we will talk probably about what I think is the most infamous performance of Medicine. So can I give a little bit of backstory about this for me personally? So please do. The most infamous performance of Medicine is in St. Paul, Minnesota. What I think is so funny about this is growing up, I lived in North Dakota, which people from the United States will know is right next door to Minnesota, for 12 years. I wasn't living there anymore in 2018, but it's just so funny to me because, like, nobody ever talks about, like, anything that happens in Minnesota ever. And St. Paul, before I moved out east and then eventually landed in New York, I always felt like St. Paul was like this haven of queerness. Like, I had friends in my hometown, which was 8 hours away from St. Paul. And then my college town was like 4 hours away from St. Paul. The Midwest of the United States is very big. But I had friends who were queer, who I went to high school with, who moved to Minneapolis, St. Paul, so they could go be openly queer there. And I still have people who I'm Facebook friends with who are still in Minneapolis and St. Paul. When I first started questioning myself, like, I wasn't sure, like, if I could be out in the state that I was in. And I wondered if, like, maybe I would go to St. Paul someday and, like, live more out. Eventually, I just decided to be part of the community and say fuck it at that point in time in North Dakota. So St. Paul already for me has a lot of like connotations about like being this very like LGBT friendly haven in the Midwest that like hardly anybody ever talks about. And so yeah. there is a certain level of specialness to me, I guess, whenever I see people being like, oh my God, St. Paul Medicine, St. Paul Medicine, St. Paul Medicine, because like St. Paul really represented a lot to me when I was younger, even though I ultimately ended up not settling there.
Yeah. No, what a great connection. I never would have, something like that never would have occurred to me. So that's awesome. Yeah. It's just, it's special no matter where it is, but that adds kind of another interesting kind of color onto it to think about. So for sure.
Yeah. So now we'll get into some of the aspects of why this performance is so infamous. So to give an idea of exactly how infamous it is among Harry's, there's a video of St. Paul Medicine that has 11 million views. The Treat People With Kindness music video has 31 million views. And I'm pretty sure that the quote-unquote medicine clean audio video on YouTube, I'm not 100%, but I'm pretty sure it's pulled from St. Paul.
Yeah.
Because people like that one so much. So he starts off that performance stretching. What the hell?
He's getting ready for
it. What was going on in his brain? I don't know. There's so many elements.
He was wilding.
He is wild in it. There's just something.
It's great.
What are your favorite moments from Minneapolis, St. Paul?
Just the way he, like, that's the show, right, where he does, on the Boys and the Girls Are In, I Was Around With Them and I'm Okay With It, he does, like, he puts one finger up, he puts the second finger up, and then he does, a little thing in the air, and then he points to himself, and it's, like, so cheeky and perfect, and his, like, curtsy that he does after it is just perfect, and, like, I don't know, he just is so into it at this show, and, like, I don't know what was going on in St. Paul, maybe it was just a great crowd, so shout out to the people that were there, but,
yeah,
it was awesome, and just, like, I think probably the reason why this performance, like, lives on so much is twofold. It's that he was wilding during it, and it's, like, a really expressive, really great performance, and also that the quality of the video is good. Like, whoever uploaded it, thank you to whoever took that footage,
uploaded it,
because, like, yeah, it's one of the reasons why it's so well seen is because it's like a good quality video of the whole performance, which is, we're lucky to have. I'm sure people will be watching that 30 years from now, so that's that's pretty cool too.
Yeah, fucking magical, dude. Okay, so moving forward, hopefully this won't be retreading too much, but Key, what would you like the future of medicine to be? Like, in your ideal world, what would you like the future of medicine to be? Do you want a studio version? Do you want it, like, encore Love on Tour, part of the main show of Love on Tour? Do you think it should be, you know, do you reluctantly think that it should be retired?
I definitely don't think it should be retired. I kind of feel, it's interesting, throughout this discussion, it's really emerged for me how special I think it is that it, like, only exists in that live connection between artist and fan. So I do feel like I'm kind of betraying everything I've ever said on this podcast by saying that I wish there was a recording of it, but I, of course, do. Just for posterity, like, I'm just curious what it sounds like. If they did record it, like, how did they do it? Do they have the background singers kind of echoing that part where the lyrics are not included. Like, I'm just curious. I just have a lot of curiosity about, like, what that live recording would be like. Or, you know what would be great? I changed my mind. Here's what I wish. I wish that he would perform it live at concerts, and I wish there was a high-quality concert recording of it, which is, like, a recording of a live performance, but, like, with professional audio equipment is what I wish we had. Because then it's kind of, you get the best of both worlds. And I wish that he would continue to perform it on tour is, like, basically how I feel. What about you?
Yeah. I have to be honest that, like, I joke about Studio Version of Medicine. I don't actually care that much. I would love if he did, like, a live concert album. And I would love if, which came with the live concert album, would be a booklet of lyrics.
I feel like he's definitely going to do a live concert album at some point. It's just if Medicine's going to be on it is the big question mark.
Maybe Love on Tour will be a live concert album.
Harry,
don't know.
If we just drop this idea on you, please steal it from us. We don't need any credit.
We don't want any credit. You don't have to acknowledge us. Actually, don't acknowledge us. I don't. Please don't see me. I'm like the opposite of Harry's. That's really just like my one fear is he knows too much about me. If we ever met, I would just be like, oh, Harry Styles, I've never heard of you before. Yeah.
So not a guest on the pod? You wouldn't have him on the pod? I feel like, how could we say no?
I would have to emotionally prepare a lot.
Of course.
Like, to think about it, I would just be like, I would be sick over it. I think I would do okay because I have, not to brag, I'm generally seen as likable, but
I feel like Harry, everybody says he's like the nicest and that he puts you at ease. So I feel like we'd be fine.
I
but,
think so too.
Harry, we're super professional. We're a really high quality, really, really huge podcast. Our booking agent is definitely not named Key. And so you can contact them at weeblingharrystyles@gmail.com if you want to get in contact with us.
Again, we have like a professional person to answer all of the emails that we have.
It's definitely not just us. We definitely don't get to them 4 days late. We're really professional.
We're really, really professional. Okay. Your notation in the moving forward section. So speculations on the actual future of medicine. It's so funny to watch performances on YouTube and see comments being like, Studio Version, Harry, we've already waited 4 months.
Yeah, I saw that today. RIP to those people.
RIP, yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure what my speculations are, only my hopes. What do you think about what medicine's legacy will be? What do you think? Do you think people will still be thinking and talking about it in, you know, 10 or 20 years or anything like that? Do you think it'll live on?
That's like a long time. 20 years from now seems like so long from now that I don't know if I can make any definitive statements in that regard. I think part of it'll depend on like if he performs it again, if he continues to perform it. Part of it'll depend on like what music he writes in the future, if he writes songs that are similar, if he writes songs that sound similar, whatever. But I think regardless, it's a special song and it'll definitely live on in the fandom and among LGBT plus queer fans. It'll definitely live on in my YouTube to watch list. Yeah, I think something like this and kind of that first him performing it on that first tour and it becoming such a thing and the motions that he did when he performed it and like just the fun that everybody had with it, I don't think is something that's going to go away. And I almost think it might build over time if he never performs it again and then like he does a concert 30 years from now and he just like performs it and like everybody goes batshit. Like I could see that kind of being a thing. I don't know.
He's so dramatic.
It's true. Who knows? But I'm curious. If I, oh my God, I almost just want to, like, I don't know what the first show of Live on Tour is, and I know it's nowhere near me, but I almost feel like I need to be there just in case if he does perform Medicine, the reaction that the crowd would have, like, if he just started it, because that bass line is so iconic, like, that intro bass, everybody would immediately clock that that's what it was, so you'd just be standing there and be like, and everybody would be like,
everybody
would go insane. So I kind of want to experience that, but alas, I would have to fly across the country probably. So
R.I.P. Okay, well, I think that closes out our conversation on medicine. Do you have any final thoughts, Key?
Yeah, I guess I hope that we kind of talked about this in a way that people found interesting. I think it's just a really special song, and we just wanted to talk about it for Pride Month because it's just such a fun, queer song, and we hope that you are all having a good Pride Month. And we're always available at weblameharrystyles@gmail.com. On Twitter, too, if you want to talk to us about this song, send us your thoughts, why the song is important to you, what you like best about it. If you just kind of want to chat about Pride Month or, like, queer things and you want support in that regard, we're here for that, too. So, yeah, maybe that's a good thing to say towards the end of this conversation.
Absolutely. Okay, so we're going to move to the outro. Key, are you looking forward to non-hairy things, book, movie, TV backs, one non-hairy thing bringing you joy in these difficult times?
Yeah, so I would say three things emerge for me. I will give a song this week, which I don't typically do. That's usually your area, but I will mention one piece of music, which is Lorde's Solar Power, which I really, really like.
So good.
And I made a pact with myself to only ever listen to that song when it's sunny, just so that it, like, retains a special place in my mind, and I only have good sunny associations with that song. Mm-hmm. So that's working out for me right now. It's like hot and sunny where I am, and
I love that.
Yeah, I'm just loving that song. I think it's
I want to listen to that
really
on the beach
song, so yeah, same. Love that song. Another thing is the movie In the Mood for Love, which is a movie by Wong Kar-wai. Pretty famous movie. I always feel weird like recommending things that are like considered classics, because I don't know if it's like weird for me to like explain what they are, but it's just a really beautiful movie that I would recommend. It takes place in Hong Kong, I think in the 60s, and just beautiful score, beautiful music throughout the film, just like really visually stunning. I saw that in a movie theater near me. I was really excited that it was showing kind of that classic movie, so and it instantly became like one of my favorite movies as soon as I saw it. So I usually try to give a movie recommendation at the end of this podcast, and that's what I'm going with this time. And lastly, the television show Loki.
We are both watching Loki.
Yeah, we've seen the first two episodes, and I just am loving it. It's just great. And I don't even know how much more I have to say about that. It's just a great show. Loving Owen Wilson of it all. Yeah, really liking it so far.
I think that Owen Wilson's character, Mobius, and Loki should kiss each other. I have really insightful commentary on Loki. But yeah, no, it's great. We're in the DMs with each other about this show. It's just very fun.
Yeah, fun times.
Bo Burnham's Inside has eaten my life.
It really has. How many times have you seen it?
I think the last time I watched it was with you and our other friend, but I listened to the soundtrack of it almost every day. So, how are you feeling out there tonight? Yeah, I'm not feeling good. No, I actually am doing quite well. So nobody worry about me. I'm actually, doing very well, but, it was very nice to, have that cultural reference point. I loved Bo Burnham, his stuff, ever since I was in high school. And he quit stand-up years ago. And then he came back with this special on Netflix a few weeks ago when I was feeling quite depressed already. And it just sort of talked about his experience in isolation and everything to do with that. And it was really there during a time when I really needed it. And then it's kind of helped. It's been one of the things that has helped me lift out of some of those feelings, just having somebody put out a piece of art that really feels like it understands how you are feeling and like engaging with that has been very special. I'm not saying that Bo Burnham's Inside cures mental illness. I have many other supports in my life that have probably helped me more than Inside has, but it's a very special piece of art and I really like it. Yeah.
To sum up, yeah. Inside cured the world and nothing is bad anymore and everything is purely good.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yes.
No, everything is really good because I'm living the dream. I actually have a lot question mark going my way in life right now. I don't know. We'll see about that. So that's all I have to say about my recommendations. If you haven't seen it and listened to it, you should go. It's good. Key, do you want to lead us out of here?
Yeah, so you can contact us at weblameharrystyles@gmail.com. On Twitter and Tumblr, we can be found at harrystylespod. Let us know what you think of the show. And one way to do that would be to review our podcasts on Apple Podcasts, and we would so appreciate it if you did that and gave us a rating if you enjoy it.
Subscribe to us on your preferred podcast host to become notified of our next episode. Thank you for listening. We love you. Talk to you next time. Goodbye.
All right, bye everyone, and happy Pride.
Bye, happy Pride.
We're not.